Episode 51. Get out of here, Satan. What up, everybody? Let's get straight into it. Let's get straight in some prayer. So go ahead and open your hearts, open your ears, and let that spirit flow. Dear God, Lord, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God, to come before you, God. So undeserving, but Lord, your grace just abounds, God, and what a blessing that is, Father. Mm-hmm. Lord, I just pray in this moment that the Holy Spirit would take over, that the Holy Spirit would lead this time, Lord, that you would encounter your children, and that, Lord, we would leave out of here just zealous for you, God, mm-hmm. wanting to know more, wanting to learn more about you and to grow in relationship with you, God. I pray that this would not be about us, but about you, mm-hmm. and it would be a blessing to you as it is to us, God. In your almighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Alrighty, so tonight we got, we got my boy Spencer.
Yes, sir.
A fellow brother from the Grove. I've known Spencer now for probably about 5 months since I've been going there. And he's actually like one of the first guys that I think I talked to when I came over to the Grove. And I don't know, his faith is it's beautiful. And he's,
praise God.
Yeah, he's been doing a couple sermons, which has been, it's been cool, honestly, to see, like, for one, how serious he takes that. And, we're actually going to post this after you do the sermon, just to keep it a buck. So you'll be hearing this after it's already been preached. But, we're going to kind of take a sneak peek into that. And that way all of you guys who are listening can, hear the good word from Spencer.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But, Spencer, if you want, you can just kind of introduce yourself, give us a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm Spencer. I go to the Grove with Chris, like you said, and yeah, it was funny. I remember Chris's first day, and it was me and my boy Sean. Shout out Sean! And
shout out Sean!
Yeah, dude. We went up to Chris, and he looked familiar, bro. And I was like, okay, like I feel like I know this guy. And Sean pointed it out. It's fire. Me and Sean used to hang out with his little brother.
Bro, I actually forgot that dude.
Yeah,
that's
bro.
Fire, bro. Yeah, yeah.
So I think Sean said something about it, and I was like, dude, no way. And then you said, like, yeah, he's my brother. I was like, what? So it was just a crazy connection right off the bat. So it was cool. And, a little about myself. The Lord has radically changed my life just in the last 2 years. Like, if you would have told me I'm preaching a sermon to students 2 years ago, I would have looked at you like you're crazy. So praise God for that. But, yeah, just thankful for the opportunity.
Heck, yeah. No, absolutely, dude. So guess no further ado, we're going to be talking about dying to self. Mm-hmm. Dude, praise the Lord. Spencer's got a whole bunch of notes. We've only had one other guy bring notes before. And so this is going to be, dude, we're really excited to get into that topic. I guess, dying to self, I guess, like, you're brand new. You've never heard about Christianity. Like, what does it really mean to die to self? You know, like, what would that look like? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because obviously it's not, you don't kill yourself, you right? know what I mean, so it's like, what does it mean to die to self, right? And what does that look like, kind of?
Right. Yeah, to actually die to self practically. In John 12, verse 24, or actually it's verse 25. Right after Jesus says in verse 24, basically he says that he's gonna die. He says in verse 23 that his hour is come, and that's the first time in John that he says that his hour is coming. And it's kind of funny that he says it at this point, because it's right after the triumphal entry. And the triumphal entry was when Jesus went to Jerusalem right after raising Lazarus from the dead. And everyone was celebrating because they thought they were getting a political Messiah. Basically what that means is that they thought Jesus was going to give them like political freedom from the Romans, because the Romans were over Israel at that point. So they thought Jesus was going to help them build a government that would overthrow the Romans. And that's why they had the triumphal entry. But then it's funny, he kind of just slaps them in the face in verse 23 and says, well, actually, I'm going to die soon. And it's crazy. So... And then he compares himself in verse 24 to a wheat seed. He's like, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So he's basically comparing himself to a wheat seed, which is really, really interesting. A wheat seed is like super, super tiny. But when it's planted into the ground, it must die. And then once it dies, it turns into a big old harvest of wheat. Which is super interesting that he would compare himself to that. Basically, why he's comparing himself to that is because he is saying that his death is going to produce much fruit, because his death is going to lead to salvation for many. So we know Jesus is Lord of all, and he provides salvation for every nation, tribe, and tongue.
That's a fire connection.
Yeah.
That's lit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, actually, I have an interesting quote. This is something I'll share with the students, but it's just kind of funny and cool to share. But someone has calculated that if you plant one wheat seed and then you take the crop that comes from that one wheat seed and keep taking the crop, it'll take 14 years. And after 14 years, the whole land space of the earth will be full of wheat. Like, that's crazy, bro.
God, that is nuts,
from
bro.
One little wheat seed, bro. Like, a wheat seed is probably, it's very, very tiny.
14 years?
It'll just take 14 years from one wheat seed to cover the entire earth. And Jesus comparing himself to that. Like,
bro, I've already talked about this, but the dominion mandate, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, it's so far.
Yeah, exactly.
That the spirit spreads, bro. Dang, bro, that's a crazy thing to think about.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, dude, so it's obviously then, so dying to self then, right? It's the connection, right, that's far, actually, bro, making the immediate connection, right, to Jesus' death and to his resurrection.
Exactly.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, dude. And you're using verse 24 there?
Yeah, I said verse 24. And then verse 25 is actually what dying to self would look like for ourselves.
I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. All right, like, expand on that then.
Oh, my bad. We're John 12.
John 12. Oh, yeah, I was reading good. The wrong thing, bro.
Hey, it's all good, bro.
That was still a good verse, dude.
Low key, it was. Hey, every verse breathed out by God, bro.
Dude, the Lord wills. All right. John 12.
Verse 25.
All right. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Dude, and so, like, that's actually, bro, that's so lit. Honestly, I can say personally, dude, I do struggle with that frequently, honestly, dude. You know, I'd say, like, every day is, like, a reminder of, you know, dying to self.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and especially because, like, dude, even if it's doing something that, like, I'm supposed to be doing, like, work or anything like that, you know, something that would still be, like, an action-wise that is good.
Mm.
It's, like, if I'm not doing it unto the Lord, then it's really, I'm still not dying to self. Like, I'm doing it for me and my own good, and there's no glory to God put to it.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's really good. And I think, bro, even, like, that's fire that you're doing the sermon to the kids, because,
yeah,
dude, I mean, even grown, whoever's, if you're a grown man, you know, you probably need this even too, right? But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, so that's fire.
It's interesting that you say daily, too, because in Luke 9, I think it's Luke 9:23.
Pick up your cross.
Yeah, daily, bro.
Daily.
He says to do it daily. Yeah. And, yeah, that's just fire. So, and I'll read verse 25 again. He says, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life.
Yeah.
This is a very interesting verse. He's saying that if you love your life on the earth so much that you continue to live for yourself and continue to do your own thing and follow your own desires, that you will actually end up losing your life. And we know what that means. That's eternity in hell. So that's a serious, serious thing.
What would you say loving your life would look like for somebody?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, I'll turn that question to you guys, if you have any thoughts, and then I'll answer that. What do you think, Wally?
Loving your life. Let's see. Loving your life. Basically,
could it be related to love to self, though?
You're putting all your eggs into the basket of what this world has to offer you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, everything that the world says life is supposed to be, that's your main focus. You know what I mean? Like, success, money,
yep,
power, women, career, maybe status, the American dream,
mm-hmm,
like that kind of stuff. Like,
our whole culture, basically,
loving,
bro.
Loving that idea so much that you put your whole, like, dedication of life into that, you mm-hmm know? And basically what that does is, like, you're putting all these eggs into a basket that's going to rot and it's going to go away, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
When you're not focused at all about what is after this, you know?
Yeah.
And what it looks like to live a life that's fruitful here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because the goal isn't just to get to heaven.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, is to make an impact, to glorify God, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That dash and the time from when you were born, you know what I'm saying, till the day you die, that dash. Mm-hmm. That's what God is looking at, you know what I mean? Not so much just your status or whatever people value, you know what I mean?
Yep. Bro, and that makes me think, like, have you guys ever heard of people, like, trying to bury themselves with possessions and stuff like that?
Oh, dude, I see it every day at work, bro.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Dude, like, I think of, bro, so this is a crazy fact, bro. Like, pharaohs, bro, back in, like, ancient Egypt, bro, they would, every time they would die, they would bury themselves with all their possessions, but then they would
Literally?
Yes, yeah. Literally.
You mean literally?
Literally.
They still do that in Mexico, bro.
Yes, bro.
In Mexico, they do that still.
Yeah, and they would bury each other, themselves with their wives, bro. With their wives. It, like, just because they're putting their treasure and trying to keep things that they can't keep. It's all worthless, like, to your point. And I think of, like, it's kind of funny. It's kind of really, it's interesting how foolish this statement is, but, like, Drake's song when he says, like, when I die, put my money in the grave, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
yep.
It's like, that's an example of, like, a person, and all of us blinded by sin.
Yeah.
All of us blinded by sin.
Dude,
would
but don't
want
they
to
do
that.
The temple, bro, don't they literally have them, like, buried in the temple for, like, the pharaohs, right? I guess you're speaking to the pharaohs.
Yeah.
They put them, or not the the pyramids, bro. They're buried in the pyramids, dude.
They're buried in, like, tombs. I don't think they're buried in the actual pyramids.
Yeah, because they mummy them or whatever, right? Yeah,
I thought they did put them in the I think they have a couple tombs in the pyramids.
Maybe.
To go look at them.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't know, bro. Never mind. You ever see, like, those spooky movies, bro, with the...
Where they come back?
Yeah, bro. Boo.
Stay away from them pyramids.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, dude, that's... Yeah, dude. And honestly, too, that's, like, one thing that I've seen, like, that... that I hate, dude, but it's, like, in the American church even is, like, where I, you know, dude, where churches become a thing where it's, like, this is what Jesus has to offer you, you know what I mean? Like, come here so we can fix your family, your finances, and your career. Like, we'll get it all done for you.
Yeah.
And it's, like, dude, the word says literally the exact opposite thing.
Exactly.
You're literally going to have to pick up a cross, dude, every single day and walk with it, you know? And so, yeah, dude, like, to that point of, like, I think that's, like, a... Dude, I don't know. This is one thing that, like, Francis does say. We were just talking about Francis before the pod, bro. Shout out Francis again. But, nah, dude, that's, like, something he says is, dang it, bro, I just lost it. Just like that, dude. What is it?
Something about living for yourself.
Living for yourself.
Possessions.
It'll come back, dude. It'll come back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no,
look, let's put it in context for Francis just to... Shout out my guy. He made $1 million from the book. Like, he wrote a bunch of books, so he's made multiple millions of dollars.
Right.
Gave it all away.
Mm-hmm. Bro, his net worth is like, I mean, it's like
his treasure isn't on earth, bro.
Yeah, it's like $300,000, which is still a lot, but dude, that's so, bro.
No one does that though.
No one, bro.
Like, the world, people would look at that as foolish to give away $1 million. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, everyone, as soon as you get $1 million, like, you could look at a good way to check yourself on this is like, if you got $1 million today, what would be the first thing you do? You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
first
question.
First thing you do. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Dude, we could do a whole thing on this.
Yeah.
But it's, bro, and that's it, bro, is that it's just so prevalent in America. It's like, oh, that's what he says. It came back. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Is that he's like, everyone will tell him, like, why don't you go to, like people will tell Francis, like, why don't you go to, like, these third world countries and stuff, right? And he's like, because he's, like, looking for, like, spiritually dead people, like, why don't you go to these, you know, these other countries and do this? And, like, I don't think in, like, an accusative way, but just asking genuinely. And he's like I honestly believe that, like, the most spiritually dead people are here in America. Being that we're the richest nation ever, you know, we literally have everything handed to us. Just think about how, like, for me even, dude, like, how ungrateful I am for everything I have. I'm sitting in an air-conditioned building. Bro, I had that the other day. I was taking a hot shower in a cold building that I was making the building cold and the water hot, dude, so I could be of maximum comfort. I'm like, bro, what do I ever have to complain about? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it is, like, so prevalent in America to where it is, like, dude, I you know, I love my life. You know what I mean? And, like, it can come back just like that, you know, where I do. Like, I love what I have here. But going back to, so, all right, that's obviously the problem. So we got that established.
Yeah, then let's go on to the next part, because that's where the power comes.
Exactly. The power.
The next part there, he says, let me turn back, sorry, to John 12. But he says that whoever hates his life will actually keep it. Whoever hates his life in the world will keep it for eternal life. And I think it's also important here, like, he's obviously not saying to hate your life, like, in the sense of, like, you should not want to live anymore, like, depressive type stuff. He's not talking about that. The word here, actually, like, in the Greek, whatever, the language that the Bible is written in, the word for hate is, like, preferring something over another. So he's saying if you're preferring your own glory to make a name for yourself, to pursue whatever you want over what Jesus has called you to do, which is to die to yourself and follow him, then you're going to lose your life. But if you prefer Christ and his ways and what he calls us to do, which is to bear up our cross and follow him and follow his commands and obey him, then we'll gain our life for eternity. And that's an eternal salvation that can't be taken away from us. That's glory with the Father forever. And I think that's really what grips me, is the reality of eternity. We are all eternal beings. Our souls will go on for eternity.
Yeah, bro.
And it's like asking yourself the question, do I know that my soul is secured in Christ? Do I know that my soul will go to be with him in heaven? And if I don't know that, then what am I keeping? What am I holding on to? What am I pursuing that's keeping me from that, following Christ with all my life and heart?
Yeah, I think that's so good, because I was thinking about this the other day, just about how to kind of evangelize, like spread the word to a non-believer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just thought in my head, like, what if they ask, like, have you ever encountered Jesus? Or if I was like, dude, I want Jesus for you so bad because I've encountered him. You know what I'm saying? I was like, well, I don't want to lie. You know what I'm saying?
You've been a witness, you could say.
But look, this is what I was thinking. I was like, I don't think I haven't had like a burning bush moment where I was like, there's like, this is, I'm here with the Lord right now, like tuning in live with Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But what I can say. That would be
fire though, bro.
That would be lit.
That's so fire, bro.
But what I can say is I've encountered Jesus through the shift in my desires. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because before, everything was about me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Every single thing, every minute of the day was doing something to make me feel good, or for me to prosper, or whatever I thought was good, regardless whatever everybody else was. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the situation may be. But today, you know what I'm saying? The fact that, like, I want to read my Bible, you know, the fact that we do this, you know what I'm saying? The fact that, like, I want to be at church. I look forward to being at church.
And that's not natural, bro.
That's not natural.
Nope.
That's not the way I'm wired. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm wired to be out there doing a bunch of nonsense, right?
Yeah.
But because of the Holy Spirit, like, he has truly shifted my desires to where now I think about this kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And that's the greatest evidence you could show somebody that doesn't believe. Like, a close friend. If one of my close friends said, so you've encountered Jesus, I could confidently say yes, and I believe that they know it's true because they've seen before and after, you know? And the difference is all glory to God, bro.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? It's nothing I could have done on my own.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
A little segue, but that was fire still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, praise God. Like, I think what you're saying is exactly right. Like, I look at my own life and heart and know the things that I was pursuing, just the worldliness and the partying and the self-fulfillment, like trying to find my fulfillment in all the worldly things, and none of it would ever really, like, give me purpose in life or anything. And I would try to trick myself into thinking that I could keep chasing the weekend and keep having a good time doing these things, but bro, honestly, it would just leave me dead every time. Like, I would just, I mean, it makes you feel worse in the morning, bro, when you wake up the next day, you know what I mean?
No, bro, and that's it. It's like, you never, dude, that's something they said at the retreat, is like, you never actually reach that pinnacle, you know what I mean?
No.
And it's like, you wake up and you're not like, dude, that was such a good memory, like, I love that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bro, but every time I read my Bible, bro, and there's like a great moment, you know what I mean? Like, it's just there forever.
Exactly,
you know?
Bro.
In like 40 years, bro, I'll probably read the same. You know those verses where like God really speaks to you, where it's like something you didn't really see before? But, like, he opens up your heart to it, or he opens your mind up to it.
Yeah.
Bro, I'll probably read those same verses, like, dude, literally, I do, actually. You know, I should probably be forever, and I still go to those verses, and I'm like, bro, praise God that I could see that. This is coming off of dying to self. Still fire, little segue, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I mean, even specifically, bro, so here, right, he's talking about, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him, right? So being a servant, serving, right? And so I'd say for you, dude, like, what do you think, right? What does it look like to serve the Lord? You know, and I like, so we were, like, I was kind of saying before, like I do service. I can do service to, for people.
Yeah.
But do it for the glory of me.
Yeah.
To love of me, right? To exactly. honor me.
Yeah.
And so I think like even maybe for you, like if you do have anything, you know what I mean? Like about even just, you know, what makes service, right? To honor the Father, right?
Is right.
like when the glory goes to God.
Yeah.
You know, that's where like serving him, like that's where you're really serving him. You know, where it's like, this is happening because of my Lord, right? Because of who my God is.
Exactly.
You know? And so, yeah, but definitely I'd say, what is it like to be a servant, you know, to you? Like, well, what would a servant be?
Well, first, to your point, I want to say, like, you can literally, there's people that can probably have and can literally serve in the church every single week, be at the church early, whatever, like doing all the things. But if their heart isn't changed by the gospel, then it's all in vain. Like none of it matters. So it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart and who you're doing it for. Because you can try to please man. I would turn to Colossians 3 about this.
Oh, let's go.
But pleasing man is just, it's in vain. If you're not doing it with a heart that is set on glorifying God and putting him on display and honoring him, then it's all for nothing. And Colossians 3 talks about this, and this is just really awesome. In verse 23, he says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality." And again, in verse 23, he says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." So the real question is, like, to serve the Lord, how do I know that what I'm doing is a service to the Lord? Whether it doesn't even have to be in the church. It can literally be your day-to-day job, career, whatever you're doing. I mean, I work at Publix. I can serve the Lord at Publix. Chris was mowing lawns today. He can serve the Lord while he's in Publix. What do you do for work, Wally?
Cut hair,
yeah. Well, obviously, we're in a barbershop.
We're in a barbershop.
Well, my
bad. That was good, dude. No, that was good, bro.
Hell.
We're literally doing this in my barbershop, so.
That's funny, bro. Yeah. But
yeah, that's good, dude.
Wally can do that for the glory of God, bro.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure he has. And I'm sure you have fire conversations, too. Yeah,
great conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like asking yourself the question when you're doing these day-to-day minute tasks, even if it's nothing around the house even. It's like, who am I really doing this for? Am I doing this to please myself? Am I doing this to try to bring honor to myself? Because we all know what it's like to try to like make our conscience clear by like doing something good and then trying to justify ourselves through doing that, or trying to impress other people, whatever. Am I doing the things that I'm doing for the glory of myself, or to glorify man, or am I doing it to glorify God? And I think a good way to really try to understand that practically is, like, for instance, if you were to try to serve somebody and you're trying to serve someone you don't even know, like maybe preaching them the gospel or going and giving out food to the homeless, like, do you still do that?
No, we haven't done it in a while.
Yeah, but you used to do that, right?
Yeah, bro, it was great for a while, but we just got
busy.
Yeah, busy.
Yeah, and you did that with him. Okay,
yeah, bro,
and that was mostly an evangelism push, right?
Yeah, dude, we go out there, talk about Jesus with him and stuff, give him Bibles and
not
all that.
Really, bro. Yeah. We didn't really talk about Jesus.
Nah, we really didn't, bro.
Take it back.
Wally, I'm going to attack you, bro.
But look, what we can say is
our
heart posture was
to love and serve.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. To love and serve the least of them.
Why do you think that is? Why do you know that your heart posture wasn't to serve yourself?
Well, I could say we weren't, like, recording it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
When we talk, like, whenever I talk to people about it, it was not to, like, make me seem good. It was to get help, like, to get, like, resources. Like, hey, we're doing this. If you want to bring clothes or if you want to drop off food or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then, I mean, I guess it was kind of a...
Bro, because we gave them Bibles. Yeah. They knew what it was about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I know it was from a good heart place, but we weren't out there preaching, per se. You know what I'm saying?
Because you think about Charlie.
Yeah.
That's what you were thinking about. He just means, bro, there's a dude who goes out there, probably still to this day, Charlie, shout out Charlie. He goes out there and preaches to them every single Sunday.
Let's go.
Gives them food, and then he's like, you guys could walk away and leave and then come back and get the food.
Yeah.
He's like, but before you eat, I'm going to preach a sermon.
Mm.
And then he preaches the sermon, and then he lets them eat. And he's like, you don't even got to listen to it. You could leave.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys are going to wait. Which is fire, bro. Forces them, dude. Mm-hmm. Forces it in. Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Facts. And I think another thing is, like, you guys weren't out there expecting anything in return. Like, you know, no, you weren't getting anything back from those people. Like, to your point, never. You weren't recording it because you're, yeah, you're not doing it for publicity, fame, whatever. Mm. Like, you're literally doing it out of a heart of service for them, yes, but for the Lord most of all, and not expecting anything in return. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about serving the Lord is it's like, yeah, I'm doing this out of the pure joy that the Lord's gifted me with to give to you. And I don't expect you to do anything back for me, but I just want to show you the love that Christ loved us.
Bro, that's the dude. My brain was going there, bro. So that's fire, dude.
Bro, I'm thinking John 15,
Dude, all right, you got that.
And yeah, go.
First John, bro.
I think I know what you're talking about too. That's fire.
Yes, bro.
But, and we have to ask ourselves the question, like, what is this all about? Like, why is Jesus Christ even worth following? Like, what? Why is he worth giving my life up? Why is he worth dying to myself and following? Like, what's the whole point of this? And first, I want to say that we have a holy God, creator of the universe,
dude,
creator
we're cooking, of everything. Bro, I feel it, bro.
Like, yeah. God is holy. He's set apart.
Yes, sir.
And he is above everything. And we are so lowly. Like, we don't bring anything to the table. All our works are like filthy rags in his eyes. I think Isaiah 65:6 says that. Like, bro, we bring nothing. We're sinners, dead in our sin, the Bible says. It's like, bro, we have fallen short of the glory of God. And we have all disobeyed him. But the amazing thing is who Christ is and what he's done for us. In John 15, it says this, in John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Like, that is amazing.
Yeah, before you keep going, yeah, please, so I'm going to just read this one real quick. And it says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Mainly, specifically, that verse 10. Dude, when I read that, like, for the first time, when I read that, I was like, because I always wondered, you know what I mean, about the love. Like, how do I love God more? You know what I mean? Like, how do I love God more? And then that verse really, like, screamed it at me. It was like, you don't. So verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins.
That's right.
Right? And so it was like, really, through gospel clarity, through reading the scriptures, through reading the word.
Yeah, bro.
Believing in the word, right? Believing in the promises, believing in what God did for me. Right, in that love that I see, right, that God did that for me as this sinner, I in turn like love him back.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, the love doesn't come from me, it's from him. You know what I mean?
Exactly, bro.
And so it's like, dude, like, that's, and so, like, basically just what you just read too, right, is like the example of that is that he so loved us. You know what I mean? Like, not that we loved him.
Yeah.
And then so you say, like, well, because you're asking that question, right? Like, not literally, but I think just like opening it up.
Yeah.
It's like, so then why would? Because I always used to wonder the same thing, you know, growing up. Like, because I was never the person to like fake believe in Jesus. You know what I mean? I was pretty open about, I don't really care one way or another, and I haven't really put too much thought into it. But I would always wonder, you know, like, you know, like people who are truly like in love with the Lord, like, why? You know what I mean? What is so great that you would, why would you even believe in that, actually? You know what I mean? Like, where's your evidence? Where's your proof? That kind of thing. But it's like, dude, they've just, God has shown himself to them, right? Like, he's manifested himself to them. And then they've realized how much love he has for them. And then so in turn, it's like, dude, even on the worst of days, in my lowest of days, it's like, you know, I, like you said, dude, like, some days I'm like, I literally got nothing to give you, God.
Yeah.
Bro, literally before this pod, bro, I was like, you know, he was talking about it. Like, I was a little tired and stuff, bro. And I was like, we're going to need a lot of grace coming into this one. You know what I mean? Yeah, Wally's got a, bro, hey, praise the Lord. Actually, the shout it out
praying
real quick.
Praying for you, Wally, bro.
Yeah, bro. River's back at the house.
Yes, sir. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
That's a praise, bro.
Yeah, so, but he's dealing with the consequences of that, actually. Yeah, so he's, but no, praise the Lord, dude. River's back at the house, keeping him awake, and I'm sure you're grateful for it, though, so.
Super grateful.
Oh, yeah.
It's a blessing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But right, so it's like, dude, like, I literally don't have anything to offer him. I could give him nothing, and it's like, he still loves me, you know? And then it's like, you just want to share it. Yeah, bro, we can go into a whole nother thing with that, but.
We could.
Yeah.
And bro, this is a beautiful verse that explains that really well, I think. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 is just, and 15 is amazing, and it's exactly what you just said. It says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that he has died for all, and therefore all have died. In this verse 15, this is just an amazing truth, and this is what our response to Christ should be. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. It's like, what, the first time I read that verse, like, Jesus Christ for my sake died on the cross. He did not have to.
Yeah.
Like, he did not have to do that. He was perfectly fine, reigning in heaven. Yep. He was glorious, and he had all the glory already. He didn't need any of it. Yeah, he didn't need my sorry sick soul's praise. Like, he did not need that, and that is humbling, and it's amazing just to see the fact that out of his love and his care, he would sacrifice himself for our sake and then raise from the dead so that we could have life in him and follow him and live for him.
And that's like, yeah, bro, that's one thing where it was like, bro, I hate it, but like, I don't even know. I don't know how those other, I was about to say Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons, but I don't actually know how they're, what they really believe, to be honest with you. I haven't done enough research. But I do know that one of them, I can't remember which one it was, believes that Jesus is a prophet.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, I lose so much. Like, you lose so much, like, glory to God when he, like, when you say Jesus is a prophet. You know what I mean? It's like, Jesus is God. And that's the only way that I could have been saved. If a finite man would have went to the cross, it would have, I'd still be dead in my sins.
Exactly.
You know? But anyway, it's like, even, right, even with that, like, whatever, I don't even know if you call that theology. I don't know what you call that, but you know, with that like thinking, it's like, dude, like, the reason that it's so crazy to me, bro, is just knowing God's sovereignty, knowing who God is.
Yeah.
And then knowing that, like, he could have never suffered ever. You know what I mean? Could have never experienced suffering ever if he wanted to avoid it completely. But he didn't want that. You know what I mean? Dude, it's crazy. It's just crazy.
It is, bro.
But, like, yeah, so, like, literally, right, dude, it does make you want to die to self. It's like, I don't want anything from this world, you know? And, dude, you know what? Good conversation we had with Joe yesterday, talking about dying to self, is, look at you. He's like, Joe? Yeah, shout out Joe, bro.
Yes, sir. No, my boy.
Good conversation we had with Joe was, like, he was talking about, you know, his testimony. Dude, I did this last week with Jaden, and I was like, I don't know if I should be outing people's testimony. Should I not?
I think it's a praise, bro. I think it would be a service, bro.
Yeah. But he was talking about, right, like, he idolized football, like, and then basically, you love Joe, bro. I need you to be Joe.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, basically, he's idolized football. He said, like, his first year playing, like, in college, he
tore his whole knee.
No, that was the second year.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah, the first year, he had a different injury.
That's right.
In practice. And then, like, the next season, he said he was locked in. Like, he's ready, bro. Training, bro. He's ready. He's starting. Like, he's, like, sophomore year is going to be my year. And he said he was doing, like, I can't remember exactly what was happening. But I guess someone did, like, a dirty move. They hit, like, a little turn. And then his knee went, like, from a turn straight to the ground. And he tore his ACL, tore his MCL. Dude, wrecked his knee completely. And then he said he was, like, he was so angry. And it was because he had all of his trust in football.
Mm.
And so it's like having your trust in the Lord, you know what I mean? Like, having your faith in the Lord, that's something that never will fail you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know how that related, bro. But it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I think it does. Because it's like,
because that was the,
he was,
that was his
for football.
And that's, bro, and so, like, that's what I was going to say. So he was like, he's like, I would keep telling myself, like, this is what God wants me to do. This is glorifying God. Right, and so really it was like the lie of the devil, you know what I mean? Or like just the lie, not even of the devil, actually. That was the lie of the flesh.
Right, exactly.
That was the flesh that was telling him,
yep.
You know what I mean? Like, this is all you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so really, bro, that's like where it all stemmed from. But it was so, like, he loved his life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so by the grace of God, dude, praise God, dude, because at the end of his testimony, I was telling it to Spencer, like, dude, I hear people's testimonies, and I'm like, at the end, I'm kind of like, oh, like, they're just like, in Jesus, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah. But nah, bro, he was like, bro, that Jesus would do that for me. Like, bro, he was loving it, dude. And I was like,
yeah, praise
bro,
God.
Praise the Lord that he did tear up his knee, because it literally brought him to Christ, bro. Like, through that, like, he no longer wanted football. And so, bro, all right, so I can really tie it all in.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. But it's like, So now he does die to self, right? It's mm-hmm. like before he was loving, what is it, this love your life. He lost his life. All right, my bad. But anyway, so like he used to love his life. He used right. to love football. He used to want to live for football.
Yep.
And it's like now that, you know, because of Jesus' grace, really is what it was, right? Because God could have just as easily, you know, in righteous, you know, still being righteous, he could have still let like him love football and then let him go have a full career in that and then die in his sins, right? But it was like God in his sovereignty and love gave him something infinite. Mm-hmm. And like, how blinded are we?
Yeah.
Because I do this, I've done the same thing, you know what I mean? Where I've looked at something where it's like, I did love, right? Dude, I keep saying love my life. What is it? It's, yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
love my life. Told you I'm tired, bro. That's rough. Right? But I've done stuff where I've like loved my life and I haven't, dude, having a, you know, died to self, you know?
Mm.
So, like, I definitely, and I saw that, like, that's cool, bro. Thank you, God, for that. Yeah.
That's a great example, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because, bro, and it makes it more, that story made it, it makes it really relatable. Because I think we all have had that before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, bro, what's crazy is, like, I could feel it. The way he did a really good job of doing this story, bro. I could really feel it where I was like, dude, football's lit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, bro, I'm about to go play D1. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was like, yeah, dude. And then it's like, I could, like, my own sin could really understand where his sin was coming from. You know what I mean? Mm. Where I've even done that myself with money or women or whatever it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but dude, you really tied it in good at the end there. And I was like, bro, praise God, you know? Like, and how crazy is that we're great? He's now grateful for tearing his ACL and MCL and could never play football.
Yeah, bro.
That's the grace of God,
dude.
That is God's grace, bro.
It has to be.
So that was Joe's testimony. He would tell it a lot better. Trust me, he did a really good job, but still fire.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, dude, you were going to say something, bro.
Yeah.
But then
I think that's where we see, I think that's sometimes how we get checked on what our priorities really are. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Like,
something that seems bad that was good.
Yeah. Like he was like, oh, I love football. I love God. God wants me to play football, right? So he had a plan, right? And he was like, this is God's plan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the minute God hits pause or changes direction or whatever, and you're all stressed out and you're like, no, it was supposed to go this way and this way. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
When you're trying to be in control, you know what I'm saying? I think God sometimes has to humble us through those certain situations.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Just like that. Because if he would have never gotten hurt, you know what I'm saying? It's like the whole thing my mom talked about, the God story. If we were to change one piece of our life, it would no longer be God's plan. You know what I'm saying? Like, God has, in his infinite wisdom, has laid out our life perfectly according to his will. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Has you ever heard that before?
What?
Did you ever hear the podcast where we talked about that?
Probably.
Because, bro, it's so far. I love that. Every time
yeah.
I hear it. His mom, bro, his mom is... Shout out.
Yeah, let's go.
Mama.
Dude, I literally know her as Wally's mom. I know your mom is Wally's mom.
Shout out Leanne.
Shout out Leanne.
Let's go.
Uh-huh.
You're still Wally's
good
mom,
lady.
Actually.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wally's mom.
Yeah. But she's a faithful woman, bro. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Go check that podcast out about the Psalms, actually.
Mm-hmm.
She did a fantastic job.
Yeah. I got to go beep that. I haven't watched that.
Yeah. But back to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. Just so, like, just seeing Christ's amazing love for us to lay his life down for us, and then it's like a privilege to like follow him. It's like, I didn't do anything. You did the work. You died on the cross for my sins. It's like, I have no other option, anything else to live for but you,
right?
Because you've given me the hope.
Yeah.
I'll talk about this. I was in a conversation yesterday. Someone just came to our church. He was in a really, really rough spot. He doesn't go to our church. He just... Bro, okay, here we go. This is a crazy story, actually. So, two dudes roll up to the Grove randomly, right?
Oh, dude, I want to hear this, actually, because I came in right at the end of that.
Yeah, bro, and two dudes just roll up to the Grove randomly, and they knock on our door, I guess, and so it turns out that one of the dudes was, like, really just struggling and really contemplating suicide, and it was scary because he was in a really, really, really bad place. And the dude, his coworker, like barely even knew him, called him like a work friend, was like concerned for him. So I guess at work, he went up to him. He's like, bro, are you good? And the guy was like, no, man, like, I'm about to do this thing. And it's like, so the guy, was like, his instant reaction was, and he doesn't even go to our church, which is insane, but his instant reaction was like, we need to go to a church. Like, you need to get to a church.
And that's wild, bro.
Crazy. And so they just Googled a church near them and somehow pulled up to the Grove.
And the fact that people were there, because there's times when there's no one there.
Exactly. And people were there. I was there. Someone answered the door.
God's sovereignty, bro.
Yeah, bro.
God is good.
And it was cool to be a part of that.
Oh, dude, God is good.
Yeah, man. And they came in, and it was me and another guy that goes to our church. I talked, sit him down, asked him some questions. We're talking to him. And then Pastor Dan came in a little bit.
He got to cook.
Yeah, and he was just preaching the gospel and sharing the word with this guy who was really struggling. And it just seeing the glimpses of hope that he was having right in that instance is something I'll never forget. Like, a guy who was literally found no other option except to literally kill himself, bro. Like, that is so, so sad to think. But to think that in God's sovereignty and God's perfect plan and wisdom, to your point, Wally, he was able to come to our church and hear the gospel from Pastor Dan. And Pastor Dan even told him, he was like, straight up, and this is what you're referring to, like, Christianity is about bearing up your cross. Like, it might not get easier. Yeah. It might, in fact, get harder for you.
Yeah.
But you will have an eternal hope.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. It's like, people out there in the world, I know before Christ, yeah, I had no hope in life. Like, yeah, my only hope was just to try and make a name for myself, because that's the only thing I could do.
Right.
Or try to have as good as a time as I could, because I didn't have anything else to live for. Yeah. But now I have the eternal Son of God to live for.
Yep.
And then have the hope of eternal life with him.
Yeah.
Because our lives are so minuscule compared to that.
And it is crazy, bro, that other people look at our life like it's crazy, and we look at their life like feel bad almost. Like, it's sad, you know what I mean?
Compassion.
It's crazy, bro, like that shift. Because we've seen that life. They haven't seen this one ever. So it's,
exactly.
But yeah. Dude, that's one thing, bro, I do want to ask you, though. Because even out of my own curiosity, actually. But take up your cross.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you the thoughts that I've had,
mm-hmm,
and then you can tell me kind of what it is that you've come up, like what it is. But
yeah,
no, it's so like, take up your cross. So obviously I think back to Jesus, right? He had to carry his own cross
right
up, you know, to, was it Calvary Hill?
Yeah, Golgotha, yeah.
Yeah. What is, never mind, we'll talk about that after. Okay. But but yeah, you know, so it's, so when I think about it, I'm like, you know, what is it? Does that mean my, Because take up your cross could, to me then, right, it's like, I've thought about it where I'm like, could it just mean that, like, I'm having a hard day at work? Is that taking up my cross? Or does it mean sins that I have, you know, that I'm gonna fight them with the word and with prayer, you know what I mean? Or does it mean, you know, that when I'm persecuted for my faith, is that taking up my cross? You know, so it's like, what does it actually look like for me to take up my cross? And so I know, right, so it goes right into, like, dying to self. So
yeah,
there's the connection. That's there,
the definition, yeah.
Right, so just dying to self is taking up the cross.
Right, and what that means...
Going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
So, but then that... Isn't that kind of confusing, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well, I think the most important thing to understand is, like, the cross, and especially considering Jesus' death on the cross is the emblem of death.
Mm.
It's literally the emblem of, yeah, of death, and it symbolizes Jesus's death, of course. But then he asks his followers, his disciples, to bear up their own crosses, to carry their own crosses. So exactly what you're saying, that is the equivalent of dying to yourself, of laying your own life to the side. Like, this self has died. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, behold, once someone is converted, behold, the old has passed away and the new has come. So it's now no more of this stuff. I'm not going to the bars anymore. I'm not going to talk to the woman anymore. I'm not going to drink anymore, or get all, yeah, whatever, engage in the high-handed sin and be unrepentant about it. Like, I'm going to turn from that, repent of that sin, and turn to Christ and follow and obey his word and what he has laid out for me. And that's, like, the definition of bearing up your cross and following him, because it's dying to yourself, your old self, and living for him, which he's given us new life in him by his grace.
You, yeah. So it's lit. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So killing the like, sinful me that I was born into in the flesh. So even, like, could even talk about, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Born again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that'd be different, I guess, but.
But that's what it is. That's what, right, it takes.
That's the separation. It's the cross that makes that. Wow, bro.
Regeneration happens in our hearts. He saves us. And then we
Yeah, because we're so evil. And obedience. So the cross that we're carrying, the thing that we're taking to Calvary Hill is our sinful nature that exactly. we have from Adam. And then it dies there, and then it's you're now an adopted son of type thing.
Right. So, like, the important thing to understand is we can't do any of this without God working in our hearts, right?
Okay.
So regeneration or being born again would be the first thing that happens. God has to give us a new heart because we can't, in our own sinfulness, we're blinded by the enemy. We're dead in our sin. Like, we right. can't do anything good. Romans 3:10 says, none is righteous, no, not
you're
one.
You're not a drowning man. You're at the bottom of the ocean.
Exactly. Like, we're dead already. Yeah, we're not swimming around trying to find a life raft.
Yeah.
We're dead on the bottom of the sea. And then Jesus comes and plucks us. Actually, shout out Shylin. He has a really, really good song called Election and Regeneration.
Dude, that's both of those insane are fire. Because Riley just sent those to me.
No way.
Last night, bro.
Yeah, those are fire songs that explain this really well. But we're basically dead on the bottom of the ocean. We can't do anything. Like, we can't even choose to do anything good for God. Like, like I said, like, our good works are filthy rags in his eyes. But Jesus, in his grace, comes and almost reaches down, plucks us from our deadness and sin, and makes us new. He gives us a new heart. And then it's our response to the new, giving the new heart is exactly to die to ourselves and to follow him because of the grace he's shown us.
Dude, you're getting deep, and that's fire. It's going to be hard for some people to follow, but I'm following you. I'm following you completely, bro.
And that is
was a really good.
Yeah.
Dude, that was a really good.
I hope that was understandable.
No, it was good, dude.
That made sense, but.
Yeah. No, so you're talking about, right, that God's sovereignty's, right, like it's God's grace that gets us out, right?
Right.
Pulls us from the depths.
Well,
and then it's our human responsibility, our response, our repentance is picking up the cross.
Yeah. And I'll give you chapter and verse for this. So in Romans 3. Paul talks a lot about the depravity of man. And in Romans 3:10, he says, none is righteous, no, not one. And he goes on to say, no one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So we know that by ourselves we can't do good because we can't see it. Like, we're blinded by the enemy. That's what 2 Corinthians says. So on our own, we can't do good. We can't bear up our own cross on our own. We need Jesus Christ to do a work in our heart. And I would encourage any of you that are maybe listening to this and you're wondering what this all means and maybe you're even confused by it. I'm telling you, if you're looking to know God and want to honor God with your life, it's not what you do that is going to save you. It's Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, and turning from hoping in your own self and hoping in your own good works and hoping in what he's done for you, the love he's shown us, and turning to him and trusting in him by his grace. And that is the answer all the time. It's not our obedience that is ever going to save us. That's the one thing from this topic of dying to self that I don't want anybody to think. It's not us dying to ourselves, us doing any action that's going to save us. It's Jesus Christ and his work on the cross that saves any sinner because he died for us on the cross. But it's then our privilege to respond to that grace he's shown us to, like 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, to live for him because he's laid down his life for us, to turn from our sin and turn to him.
And honestly, once you do have that, once you truly have that conversion experience, it's like that's what you want to do.
Exactly.
And then when you fall short of it, you feel it, you know what I mean?
Like,
it definitely, because you just, bro, I know what all God did, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, I really understand what you're saying. You're cooking up over there, Wally. What do you got?
Yeah.
I've been reading Hebrews a lot, and
Hebrews is fire.
It is.
Just to your point, you know, it's not at all about us, it's all about him, his sacrifice, his blood. You know, it talks about a lot in Hebrews 10 how, you know, back in the Old Testament, right, the priests would take bulls and cows and goats or whatever, right, to the altar and sacrifice them as an atonement, like as a way to forgive their sins, right? And the fact that they had to do that constantly, not only for themselves, like the priests themselves had to offer sacrifice for their sins, you know what I'm saying? And then also offer sacrifice for the church, like their congregation, their people, right? Offer sins for their people too, right? So think about it. They're going through all these bulls and goats and stuff as a way to somehow receive this forgiveness, right? But It says it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away their sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Talking to God, I'd assume, right? Like, God was like, I don't want any more bulls. I don't want any more goats. You know what I'm saying? But a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. And then in 9, it goes on to say, he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. By that, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Mm-hmm. So, like, day after day, right, they're doing these miracles, right? But the most high priest, Jesus Christ, it just took one.
Dude, right off the aisle, dude.
Just one. One time up on that cross.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? And then all those sacrifices, all those bulls and goats, they're no longer important, right?
Yep.
It's literally the blood of Jesus. And my favorite verse, bro, I wrote it on the floor of my garage.
Let's go.
It's Hebrews 10:14. It says, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy.
Bro, think off about of that, that.
Yeah.
Off of that, because I know you're going to expound, but just really quick before you do, it says, for you, so this is my bad, I didn't even quote it. Just go find it. Go read the Bible and find it.
Yeah.
I ain't going to tell you where it's at.
Yeah.
Psalm 51, verse 16 says, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering.
Mm.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Which is just kind of talking about how he doesn't, you know what I mean? The sacrifices aren't really enough, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there needs to be a Savior. There needs to be Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, I think what he's also talking about there in Psalm 51 is, like, he's looking for a contrite heart. So, Jesus...
The heart posture.
Exactly. Was the perfect sacrifice, right? It literally took the Son of God to pay for our sins. Like, if you want to know the weight of our sin, that's what it took to pay for our sins. The perfect Son of God. And then Psalm 51's point is like, bro, Jesus isn't looking for your outward actions or the outward sacrifice. That's what David's saying. He's like, I could offer a sacrifice, like I could kill a lamb, kill a bull, whatever, but you're not looking for that
heart.
You're looking for my heart.
Yeah,
exactly.
Woo! Dude, I love that psalm. Dude, I read it all the time.
Yeah, it's a great psalm.
Dude, that's so far. Were you gonna say anything more, Wally?
Yeah, what you got?
No, I mean, you can keep going.
Dude, I know your brain is fried, bro.
No, I mean, I got...
Nah, you, bro, you've
earned it. There's a lot of highlights on that Bible app,
baby. Yeah. Dude, but you've earned it, bro. You've earned it.
No, just, what I was... It kind of... I mean, I guess it ties in. It kind of does.
Even if it's the word of God, bro.
Yeah.
Put it out there.
I mean, what was that word you said for the heart? What was that word you said?
Contrite?
Contrite heart.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a... Yeah. That I should have defined that because that word... makes no sense, kind of. But basically, it's like a heart that is humble and knows it's in need of, in this case, obviously, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Wow.
Dude, oh, man. That's so good, bro. Yeah.
Well, I think, here, I could go over here, too, actually, in Hebrews 5.
Yeah.
Let me find it real quick.
Nah, but I think... While you didn't say that, we're about to wrap it up here.
Yeah, this will be the last thing.
Yeah.
So it's in Hebrews 5, verse 7 to 10. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So you got to think about this. Jesus offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to God who could save him from death, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the, like, contrite, you know what I'm saying? I think of that. I think of reverent. I think of fervent, you know what I'm saying? Tears, coming to God with tears, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the heart posture that he wants to see, right? And then even Jesus himself had to learn obedience. You know what I mean? Learn obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal life. So, dude, it's so powerful, you know, to know that Jesus, the eternal life, you know what I'm saying, the sacrifice, he had to learn this, you know what I mean? Like, when he took on that human form, his blood saved us but it was also him dying to self. Like, I don't think he would have been crying and having tears if, like, this is what he necessarily wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it was more like a, like, his heart was obviously for God's will. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But with that comes the pain of dying to self.
I think, you know, he wanted to do it, but it was just showing, like, that he is...
He's 100% God, but he's 100% human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted to do it 100%.
Yeah, for his love for us. Like, yeah. That's one thing we talked about at the retreat, is the Garden of Gethsemane when he was crying. It's not that Jesus was, like, disagreeing with God, because they're in perfect union, right? Mm. That's the Trinity. Like, they, of course, perfectly agree. But it was more Jesus showing that human emotion and knowing
it is
what he had to go through.
Yeah.
One thing that I would like to go to for that is Philippians 2. It says in verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, talking about Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then it says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So to your point, he humbled himself.
Obedient to the point of death.
Right. Wow. To make himself obedient to the point of death. He didn't have to do it,
bro.
But he did out of his love.
Wow. Bro, and that's what I always think about, is how humbling is it for God, who's invisible, infinite, eternal, put himself into the finite body of a, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like our big, like human flesh. Our big God, put himself into a flesh that's, you know, and then just put himself into this sinful, evil world.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, dude, we have the best, we have the only true God, but you know what I mean?
He's the best.
He's still the best one even, bro. I don't understand it, dude. Yeah. I don't understand
MVP
it, bro.
For sure, bro.
Yeah, no MVG, question.
Most valuable God.
Come on, bro. Even though, like, oh, bro, never mind. But yeah, dude.
Yeah.
He's a good God, bro. And he's the only God that could have saved me, bro. Because I could not have worked my way into heaven, dude. So
that's right.
Yeah. But yeah, so just a quick recap, bro. We thank you very much, Spencer, for coming on. You got anything else? Yeah. We kind of went off topic a little bit here and there. But honestly, dude, I think we do that every single week now. So we pick a topic, bro, but it never sticks, bro. But no, I do think that we did hit on some good stuff, and bro, I'm really, really grateful that you came out, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think for even myself, bro, like, you know, and that's actually one of the verses that I memorize, dying to self daily, you know, and that daily part, that's really what I read it for every day, is just like, it needs to be, you know, it's gotta be something that is on my heart every single day, you know, like who my God is, what he did for me. And then now how really I want to live my life, you know, like just knowing who God truly is. And I think for everybody listening, you know, just kind of asking your own self the questions, like, you know, do I love my life, you know? Because I think anybody at different times in their walk can say that they come to that where it's like, you start thinking too much about your wife, or you start thinking too much about, you know, maybe even your future wife or your career or your job, right? Start to take priority over Christ. I think we've, you know, in our sin, we still got sin. You know what I mean? We're not perfect until death, really, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think asking yourself, you know, those questions like, hey, am I truly dying to myself, or, you know, am I living this life to the, you know, YOLO, that thing?
Right, right.
Are you YOLOing right now?
Yeah.
Are you YOLOed out right now, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know,
because, bro, as Christians, we live forever, you know? Praise the Lord, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, so praise God. And then once again, so if you guys have any questions, if you're not in a church, please DM us, dude. We can help you find a body to be a part of.
For sure.
If you guys have questions about this topic, just like last week with Riley, DM us on the Instagram, 79 Cent Salvation.
Yeah.
We have Spencer's phone number. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Just real quick, and to your point, like literally 30-year believer, we always can apply dying to self. But also I just want to say, for those who may not know that they are in Christ, I would ask yourself the question of, you know, what is hindering me from turning my life over to Jesus Christ? Because my argument and the scripture's argument is that he is far worthy. It is a high cost to give your life to Christ. It is a high cost. It's literally you're giving up your life, you're giving up your whole entire life. Yep. So we need to be really mature about it and count the cost because it is a high cost. But I would argue it's the highest reward ever to have eternity with God forever, because the opposite is also true. If we don't, then it's eternity and damnation forever. So it's what is worth living for.
Yeah.
And my argument and the scripture's argument and God's argument is him alone. Yeah. He is the one worth living for. We need to turn from ourselves to him for sure.
Yeah. And then just on that too, right? Like even living life here, bro, it's made my life beautiful on earth.
Yep.
It'll make my life purposeful.
It will.
You know, and,
amen.
You know, and then, especially the eternity thing's the big one. That's the important key. Well,
that's forever.
Yeah, that's a long time, boy.
Yeah.
But, no, dude, I like that you added that, bro. Praise God. So, back to the plug-in.
Yep.
If you guys have any questions, we're in contact with, we have Spencer's phone number. So if we don't know, we can contact him. We can find you different answers, resources, all that stuff. So please interact on there. If you guys need prayer, interact on there. Come to the DM. Literally anything that you guys want, we can bring it up here on the pod. You know, like we really want that interaction on Instagram. So please be using that, because it would be a joy for us. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, if you guys do enjoy it, if it is helpful, if it's bringing you closer to Christ, please share it with other people. Or rebuke us, actually. If it's not, we actually would be grateful for a rebuke. If we say something wrong, please DM us.
Yeah.
Please, if nothing else, rebuke us so that we can come on next week and we can say, hey guys, last week we were not speaking into scripture in this area.
Mm-hmm.
We can rebuke ourselves on here. So, praise God. Spencer, you want to pray us out?
Yeah, I would love to. Lord, we come before you in prayer, humbly understanding our state. Apart from you, God, we were once dead in our sin, living for the lies of the world, the deceit of the world, living for our own passion.